welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Today, starting from the set of a movie being shot in the soybean fields somewhere south of Muncie, two stories about businesses in East Central Indiana, a little bit about how we're viewed from outside the state, and a little bit about how we relate to our neighbors. First, a film crew from Chicago came here to spend 18 days making a suspense film. They were looking for extras, got plenty of help, found Hoosiers to be very friendly. We caught up with the director and his people on a very hot day amid those farm fields.
My name is John Lurchin. I am a film director based from Chicago, from Indianapolis. We're out here shooting a movie in Muncie, Indiana, and today's day 8 of 18.
What's the film about?
The film is about this girl who gets trapped in the countryside. It's a 70s, 80s, ambiguous time period piece. And as she's stuck out here and waiting for her car to get fixed, she's slowly getting sicker. And she uncovers this murder mystery that she's trying to solve, you know, as time goes on, before the clock runs out.
You've done a number of films before. How is this different from your previous work?
This is my third feature. Typically, I dabble in drama or romances, sometimes some comedy, but this is a mystery thriller, a little bit of horror. So it's a new genre for me. It's kind of exciting.
And I think you were looking previously, you were looking for extras before, and so the community was a bit involved. Can you talk about all of that?
Yeah, we were looking for extras from the community to be in scenes. We've shot some exteriors. We're shooting a big party scene tomorrow. And locals have signed up to be a part of it. And yeah, they'll be in the background of shots and part of the movie magic.
Can you talk a little bit about, because you're a long way from Chicago and only an hour from Indy, talk about working out here.
Well, there's not too many films made in Indiana. Since I grew up here, I love to bring my work down here. The state is slowly growing. I think we have like 3 to 4 features shot here a year, little low budget indies. It's a great environment to work in. Everyone's so friendly no matter where you go in the state. Muncie's been great to us. The communities are more interested in filmmaking. Like, you're to shoot up in Chicago, everyone's seen it before. So bringing it down here, everyone's fresh and excited about it, willing to help.
Any anecdote from your interactions? I mean, how's it been? I mean, a story of people being helpful?
Yeah, I mean, every single location I wanted to use, I've gotten. So that says something about the community. The great locations here and great people, and everyone's willing to go out of their way to make it happen. We've got car clubs bringing us out old vintage cars and making the film come to life.
Different states at one time or another have looked at incentives for filmmakers. Can you talk about the importance of that in general?
Yeah, Indiana is a non-incentive. Indiana doesn't have tax incentives for filmmakers, which is something that's important for us if we want to keep bringing back bigger films here. In Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, filmmakers always receive an incentive to make their film there, which means that they get a certain percentage back from their budget of money spent in the state. And Indiana's not doing that. So if we can somehow make that happen, hopefully that will attract Hollywood films to come here and film.
Any advice for aspiring filmmakers? I mean, we're Ball State University's
sure.
Down the street.
Yeah, my biggest advice to become a filmmaker is just to keep practicing. I started in the 6th grade and haven't stopped since, and it's just been little videos, music videos, shorts, and it's kind of just worked its way up. Just got to keep going. You just can't give up because it's a hard industry.
Do you advise people to become, you know, find some area to focus on, like writing scripts or something like that? Or
it certainly helps. You have to dabble to find what you're interested in. So there's, you know, screenwriting or producing or directing, or even just, you know, helping out on set as a production assistant. It's all useful. If you can find a film that's shooting and get on set just for the experience, it's invaluable.
My name is Taylor Bostwick. I play the role of Abigail, and she's a young woman, and she's traveling, and she gets into a small accident. She has an issue with her car, and so she's stuck in this town until she can get her car fixed. And while there, she uncovers a mystery that she tries to solve, and she's mysteriously getting sicker and sicker, and does it have to do with the mystery that she's solving, what's happening, and she has to figure it out before time runs out.
This is her first time in Indiana,
I've lived in the Midwest for about 6 years now, but it's my first time coming to Indiana. I always have wanted to, so it's great. I've really enjoyed the scenery and a lot of the small towns that we visited for this. Some of the architecture is great. I've been enjoying the heat, the summer heat. It's quite fun. And we had a tornado, a possible tornado event last night, which was very exciting. Or the night before last, yeah.
It turns out she knew something about the state.
Okay. Well, I'd heard of Muncie before from, I have a few friends who went to Ball State, and they speak very highly of Muncie. And then also the TV show Parks and Recreation is one of my favorite shows. And one of the characters' favorite place in the world to visit is Muncie, Indiana.
Every role is different. This one offered a kind of special challenge.
I come from mostly a theater background, and so film and theater can be very different. Theater can be more dialogue-focused, dialogue-heavy, and it's live, so that's very different. For film, it has more to do with physical action, and for the majority of this film, I'm not even interacting with other characters. It's a lot of me alone, you know, when I'm driving here, for example, today, and some of the other scenes.
The other thing about making movies, there's a lot of waiting.
There is. It's kind of wait. Someone earlier today was saying that it's wait, 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 hurry, 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 wait, wait, wait. They have to change the camera, the lenses. Sometimes you have to wait for storms to pass, for example. And I like to use that time to look over my lines and to think about my character, update my makeup. The hot sun is making it come off. And also chat with our lovely cast and crew.
I wondered what she would remember from this trip. We were out in the middle of some bean fields in southern Delaware County, roasting on a hot day.
Oh, there are always interesting stories. I think from this trip, I will have the time that a tornado siren went off and we all had to go inside and wait it out. It was pretty exciting. I was in full makeup, and I just put on the full makeup and we had to run inside to protect it from the rain.
Is this the most unusual character you've ever played, or have you?
Well, this is my first feature-length film, and it's a different genre for me as well as John. I haven't done thriller or suspense before, mostly romance and drama. And speaking of first times, I learned how to drive stick for this show, for this movie. I learned how to drive stick. I drive a pretty neat Ford Falcon, which was very exciting.
You grew up, or you're from San Francisco. Mm-hmm. What do people in San Francisco not know? What do you have to tell them? If you go back now, mm-hmm. Now you're a veteran of the Midwest and Indiana and everything, what would you tell them?
Well, first and foremost, I think a lot of people in California don't even really know where Indiana is. I remember at one point thinking, like, where is Chicago in relation to all of them? I didn't know until I applied to colleges here. That also that people are so nice, and then there's a lot more activity than you would expect. There's a lot of fun things to do, and it's a really great area to visit and very beautiful.
That's actor Taylor Bostwick of Chicago on the set of The Pale Man, filming around East Central Indiana for 18 days recently. Before her was John Lurchin, the director. The movie should be finished by next summer and be on Amazon by the end of the year. They're hoping to introduce it at one of the larger festivals, maybe Chicago International or Toronto.
Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make...
Indiana Weekend. Interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Summer is the construction season. On TV news, they talk about traffic tie-ups in the city around the cone zones. We mutter under our breath, try to find a way to cope, except that the price of progress means a longer trip home, to work, to the beach for vacation. But what if the construction didn't stop? If for months on end, right outside your business's front door or on the streets leading to it, the work continued, cutting into your bottom line. That's what some downtown Muncie businesses have faced. They even took out a newspaper ad asking people to, as they put it, run the blockade or break the embargo. Dave Ring of the Downtown Farm Stand wasn't one of the South Walnut Six, as the group called itself, but he knows what they're talking about.
A lot of our regular customers that we depend on have really come out when we announced that we're having issues with being slow or things like that because of the road closures. That they really come out and support us. And then, yeah, we do see new people that will come in that we haven't seen before just because, you know, the publicity of being in the news about the road construction I think piques some interest, or maybe people just see you that never heard of you before. And so we have seen that.
Construction was tough. What was the effect on you and, as best you know, some of the other merchants?
The road closures for us led to about a 35% decrease in business. Had horrible, you know, July and August. I mean, of course, then we burn through our, you know, what cash reserves we have, and our inventory goes down, and some hours were cut. I had to lay off one part-time employee. So, yeah, it's substantial. A lot of stress. Takes all of your business management skills of, you know, managing cash flow and deciding what your priorities are, you know, in terms of in a retail business. Retail is so much different, and especially grocery store retail. You depend on, you know, 80 people to walk in the door a day, and then we get down to, you know, 55, 60 people a day, and may seem like we're still doing okay, but you notice the difference off the bottom line.
When they get this straightened out, You're still bullish on downtown? You like downtown? Tell me a little bit about it as a location for business.
Love downtown, love the people, love the, you know, we fit in well with the unique businesses that are down here and the unique, vibrant, you know, entrepreneurship climate. Then, so we fit in really nicely with that. And it's just different, you know, so you're more reliant on city services, you know, curbs, streets, sidewalks, parking, things like that, than if you're, say, in a location where you've got your own parking lot right in front of your door and you're kind of off, you know, kind of your own protector there. So here you have to, you know, rely on everybody to do their part, work together, and it's good, and it's the right place for us as a farm stand. And I think it's the investment that's been put in with, especially, you know, we love the hotel and, you know, being attached to the convention center, and the way that downtown, you know, looks is good, and we're bullish on the future.
Yeah, I wonder if you could sum that up, because you had facade improvements. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a second round of that. You had the hotel. Mm-hmm. You had the Liberty Pass. You've had, they mm-hmm. seem to be trying yeah. here.
So, the quiet zone at the railroad. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, love the hotel. That is a great economic engine for downtown, and you see more foot traffic and with the conventions and people on the sidewalk getting around. Yeah. Moseying around and checking out what's around downtown. That's by far the number one investment that's going to help small businesses. And really like, yeah, and then Quiet Zone, I think, made a lot of sense, because that's going to help, you know, with downtown concerts. The hotel kind of makes everybody on that end of downtown, the south end of downtown, happier. That made sense. I was involved with downtown development on the board when that first, you know, they've been talking about the Quiet Zone for years, so it was really nice to see that come into effect for downtown, just part of the infrastructure that we needed. So those are probably my two favorite things that I've seen so far.
Wanted to know what he thought about the hope for small businesses. Since we were recently at The Verge and the CoLab in Muncie, the entrepreneurial group, and the small business co-working space, and the Shack Makerspace in Kokomo, and hoping to visit the Mad Jacks Makerspace in Muncie.
You see a climate of new businesses coming up, and one of them that you see is we've had a lot of small breweries pop up in the last couple of years, and that's a great fit for East Central Indiana, and used to be, you know, a part of the culture in the Midwest was to have a lot of breweries, you know, pre-prohibition. So it's nice to see that coming back, and I think that the whole makers movement makes sense, and it's still defining itself, and it's still, you know, and the community is trying to define with it what it should be and how it should, the direction it should go in. And of course, we think that, you know, organic farming and local farms and small farms, and then all the spin-off businesses that could come with that, you know, be it cheese making and butcher shops and beer making and all the things that come from agricultural products, you know, play right into the whole makers. And so we're happy to be, you know, one of the first keystone projects that do that downtown.
Goodbye, Joe, me gotta go. oh me, oh my, oh. Me gotta go pull the P-Row down the bayou. My Yvonne, the sweetest one, me, oh my, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
My name's Dave Ring. My wife, Sarah Ring, and I opened the downtown farm stand in 2007. We started our organic farm back in 2000, which is over near Albany. So we also have an authentic farm-to-table deli where we use all organic ingredients, a lot of things from local farms. And we do a home delivery grocery system where we deliver right now to well over 50 customers a week, bringing groceries to their door, free delivery. And the farm works in conjunction with the store and with the deli, and so everything functions together, and we're just happy to be bringing the local organic food movement to Muncie, and it's going on our 10th year.
How and why did you get started in that?
Well, that's a good question. I had a love of nature and the environment and outdoors and gardening, and so when I was at Ball State and I was studying cultural anthropology and, you know, all the cool things that that makes you think of, and then the idea just kind of gelled in my mind, and I had a love for it, and went out to, Sarah and I moved out to California and lived in the Lake Tahoe and then Placerville area in the foothills, and did an internship on an organic farm there back in 96, and it just, the passion was really, it set from that point on.
What's it like having a family in a business like that?
Sure, no, it's like having an extended family. The people who have been coming in since 2007, and they've seen my kids grow up from when they were in preschool, and not only just see them, but interact. I mean, you know, it's a community space, so, you know, Zach plays chess with a number of the customers, and Lena, you know, has friends and people that she knows that they talk and meet, and so it's community, and that's really what it all comes down to, is we build community here, and it's really unique for our kids. We feel really, you know, as hard as owning a business is day to day, all the challenges that you face, and the immense amount of time that you put into it, there's also a lot of really nice benefits, and one of those is the community and what it does for your raising children in the middle of something like that.
It's reminiscent of an earlier time when lots of people did that.
Sure, there used to be a grocery store literally on every corner in this town. Now we're the only family-run grocery store in the city. We're the only ones crazy enough to do something like that in a day and age of Walmart and Meijer and, you know, the giant box stores. And it's really challenging. There's a reason why people don't do it, because it can consume your life, but you have to take that consuming your life and turn it into a positive, to where you're able to extract all the positive things from it and capitalize on those and kind of make it your own.
It's a hard way to make a living. I wondered if Dave and Sarah talk about what it's all meant to them.
We talk about that all the time. And when every time we go through one of these challenging mini crises where you know, sales drop due to things that are beyond our control, we always see the community come out and support our efforts. They go out of their way, you know, and you hear that a lot, but in a busy modern era where nobody has time, or maybe not necessarily the extra money to do things that they want to do, lots of customers come out of their way to support us, and that just makes you feel, you know, all warm inside, so, and like you're part of a community.
I asked him to think about a time that happened.
Boy, it happens all day long. I have customers that come in and talk about it, ask me how things are going, they get an update, and yeah, just the other night I had a lady in who's been coming in since 2007. She's one of the very beginning people, and she said, don't give up, stay at it. Where would the community be? How many people depend on you guys and the food that you bring in and you produce? Don't give up, hang in there for us, basically. And of course we weren't on the verge of giving up, but it still helps, you know, it helps strengthen your resolve.
How many other businesses would you hear something like that?
Yeah, no, we're fortunate. I mean, our one of the first things we tell employees is that we have the best customer base in the world. And they'll all tell you, I've said that a million times. And it's because I've worked in customer service a lot in many different forms. And inevitably, there's a lot of negative things that you have to deal with in most forms of customer service. And here, it is really the exception when we have a negative interaction. I mean, our customers thank us for being here. And, you know, they love our food. And they it's important to them. And then there's the community aspect that people want. They're drawn to that, to just having a community where people know their name when they walk in the door. And it's not, you know, some nameless greeter who says hi because they're paid to do it. We're saying hi because we're glad to see them, and you know, we know what's going on in their lives, and we have a conversation about it. And, you know, that's priceless, really.
I asked about his hopes for the future.
Well, hope for the future is modest, steady growth, and be able to just better network with more farms. That would always be something that we would like to do, to see more organic farms in the community, more different types of farms. Really like to see the food system grow into all the different niches that are, you know, could be available around here. And us to be able to grow along with them and move forward in some different areas of food processing that we'd like to get into. So.
Here's what I'm left thinking about after listening to Dave Ring, how, as his business took a big hit from downtown road construction, sales dropped by a third, he and his wife Sarah had to dip into savings to stay afloat. The response from the community. He says people made an extra effort to stop in, buy something, and tell them to hang in there, to not give up. It sounds like the essence of the whole buy local movement. The world has changed in so many ways from the time when there was a small grocery on practically every corner. Things are different now. Look at the way we communicate, staring at screens so many times rather than looking up, looking each other in the eye. But where there's a sense of community, when people feel like they know their local grocer, a place they care about, it's a little different. The emphasis on small business and local startups sounds good for the economy, but it may also have another impact on the way we treat each other. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.